Thank you. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Y'all awake?
Yes.
I don't believe you. Dr. Wright, this plant sounds bad. I think we ought to fight against it. I don't even understand half the words that they're saying, but I don't know what a megawatt is or anything, but sounds like we ought to be fighting against this one. It's just what I've been able to gather. So my name is Colette Pichon Battle. I'm with the Gulf Coast Center for Law and Policy, and I am in the Dr. Wright fan club. Just want to give a shout out to you, Dr. Wright, and you, Mary, for always bringing the community together to talk about important things. You're the only person more important than Mary J. Blige. That's all I have to say. I don't have to talk about anything that Monique and Casey talked about because they're amazing and great, and I don't really understand it. What I know is it's time for us to get a little bit of learning and understanding, because these things are starting to hurt us. They've been hurting us, and we've got to be more involved. We don't just have folks up here presenting so that you can just get the information and walk out the door. All of us are here because it's time for us to team up. It's time for us to get the understanding and the learning together. And that's really where I like to come into the conversation. I think I should skip lots of things because I have a feeling we're behind on time. But what I'll say is, does it work? White button. I want the black button, Mary. Just kidding. She's so radical. I'm with the Gulf Coast Center for Law and Policy. We are a nonprofit public interest law firm, and we work in communities of color. We do that unapologetically, and we work on the front lines of climate change. I could tell you a little bit more about it, but we'll get down to the get down. We work specifically toward ecological equity. There's a broader conversation that has to be had when we talk about energy, and we believe it is one of ecological equity. This brings in things like culture and tradition and people and land, and this is the bigger picture in our opinion. We learned some hard lessons post-Katrina. One of those hard lessons was that we're not just fighting inequities and storms that most of us grew up with. We are now fighting a climate crisis, and it's hitting us first, and it's hitting us worse, and there's some things that have to intersect if we're gonna make our way out of it. So I wanna offer a little preamble for you, a little something for your soul. And if you feel it, I need to know that you feel it, because I can't really see you guys, or you gals. So I just need to know if you feel this preamble, okay? Y'all with me? Okay. Our earth is as important as ourselves.
Yes.
Mm. All right with that one? Our land holds the cultural traditions and the blood story of America's greatest struggles and triumphs.
Oh.
Our spiritual practices and our own experiences with oppression are valuable tools to help us identify and abolish oppression in all its forms.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Our roles are as advocates for justice and stewards of life-sustaining practices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our investment is in developing regional solutions and supporting local power and leadership.
Yes.
Our allies are all who strive for justice with dignity and integrity. All right, well, this is an important preamble, or else you'll think the enemy is Entergy. And we've got to have a bigger vision than that, because the fight right now is Entergy in New Orleans East, but the enemy is our lack of connection to one another. Our enemy is some of the things that we've been losing over generations, right? Our enemy is devaluing the experiences that so many of our communities and our cultures come from, and extracting that from the fight for clean and renewable energy. The truth is that we have to pull everything back together because we've been pulled apart. And so the preamble is just a little something for your soul, so that when you fight energy or whomever, you don't lose sight of the fact that that's not, that was just step one of a bigger fight, okay? So we know the Gulf Coast is ground zero. I love this crowd. I've seen many of you in many protests and such, so I know we all know this stuff already. But what I'll say is that from Katrina to the BP oil disaster and the unprecedented flooding in Baton Rouge, we know that we are at ground zero. It was really easy for people to just kind of throw away Katrina as a storm that happened. But I think what happened in Baton Rouge pretty much pulls the whole state into a broader conversation around climate. And if you don't know, it's time to know, South Louisiana is in trouble. New Orleans East Power Plant is only going to accelerate the very horrific and scary reality that South Louisiana is facing. And if you have not seen the maps of what's happening to South Louisiana, you are hereby ordered by proclamation of Colette to go find those maps, or else you're going to think Entergy is the problem. So I'm gonna tell you, well, how many of y'all like the Saints? Anybody in here? Yeah, can I get a hoot at if you like the Saints?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're a Saints fan, what wins games? It's like a statement, blank wins games.
Touchdowns.
I totally agree with that, but that's not it. Yes. Who that nation? Sometimes they win. I don't know. Defense.
Yes.
Defense wins games. Anybody? Y'all with me on that? Defense wins games. That's what they tell you. If you're an athlete, you know, don't let them score, you'll win. Somebody on your team has to score if you don't let them score, right? Defense wins games. It's exciting. You get to be rough and rumble. But if you're an owner of a team, you know the other thing is true, which is that offense wins the people. People want to cheer. People aren't cheering at a blocked, I mean, you know, if it's basketball, they'll cheer at a block, but like, people want to cheer for your team scoring. They don't really cheer at defense. And so I want to use our Saints knowledge for this energy problem. We can swat down, we can go to these meetings, we can say no, 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 and we can even stop them. But there's another point that happens, and it's when they say, well, what do you want? Anybody ever had that? Okay, well, I don't know what we want. We're not gonna know what we want until we sit down and figure it out. And this is where we came up with this initiative called Gulf South Rising. And Gulf South Rising was a 12-month initiative that was really in response to the devastation and the ground zero reality that we were facing in South Louisiana. It was anchored by the Gulf Coast Center for Law and Policy, co-anchored, and it was a multiracial, multi-issue initiative around a shared investigation of root causes of ecological disasters. And we brought in literally the voices of frontline communities to lead the way. Why is she talking about this? Because we cannot continue to have efforts led by the 12 people who know it all. It is officially time for us to get the community involved in these fights and in these processes, and you're gonna have to learn a process, and trust me, it's frustrating. The only thing more frustrating than losing to Entergy is trying to get 300 people who live in a neighborhood to agree on something. It's the only thing more frustrating. But you gotta do it. You gotta do it. You gotta do it. And so climate-based disasters have been part of this, part of our reality, but it hasn't just been part of the reality of South Louisiana, it's been part of the reality for the whole Gulf South. And it is that new reality, that regional reality, that brought this initiative together. And folks from Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, came up with their own slogan, and they said, the seas are rising, and so are we. I know it's a few of y'all in here. You might see yourself. Get ready. May wings up first. Okay, so what do we do? We sure did have to talk a lot. Lord Jesus, we sure did. I was ready for it to be over. We had to talk some more. We had to say our names all the time. We had to root ourselves in principles. We had to like stop ourselves from talking if you were the person who talked too much. Who wants to be a part of that? We got to, or else we're going to lose. We are going to lose. And so the Gulf South Rising Initiative was really a practice. It was the first time anything like this had been done. Let's just try. What do you mean, black folks and white folks together telling the truth to each other? This could be touchy. This could not work. But it does work. It does work. And I'm not saying it doesn't work without tension or problems. I'm saying it works, and you have to keep moving it along. Now, here's what's interesting about this process. A lot of people think like, oh, Colette is brilliant. I didn't know if any of you thought that. I was just checking. Oh, Colette is brilliant. She came up with this process. No, it's not true. Actually, what we used was a process called the People's Movement Assembly. People's Movement Assembly, or PMA. You can actually Google it, and there's a toolkit that tells you how to do this in your community. I am brilliant, but this was not mine. And here's what I had to learn. I had to learn that from time to time, I'm not right. It's true. You too have to learn this about yourself. It's a process, don't worry about it. Just take it in. But here's the thing. The collective is always right. The collective is always right. If you've got people working together on an issue, you can get to the solution. If it's just you, got a 50-50 shot. And sometimes you're not right. I don't mean to be the one to break this to you. I'm not sure if you can handle it. But we had to learn this process. Now, this process actually originated in South America. And it originated in places where people were living under dictatorships and were not allowed to participate in their own governance. And the process has been used in the United States and is now being used all around the United States in grassroots communities around a number of issues. We just use it around climate justice and ecological equity, but you can use this process anywhere. The Assembly is a constellation of social movement organizations and people that seek to govern themselves. Now, there's a quote in the Bible. I don't know how many Christians are in here. I won't go too deep in it. But there was a problem when the people got freed, and God was like, y'all are free. And they were like, hey, Lord, we need a king. And he was like, what? Didn't I just free you from the ruler? And they're like, yeah, but we just need somebody to rule over us. See, this is you have to choose. If you're going to fight for liberation, then you actually have to choose to engage at all times on the things that impact your society. But if you just want somebody to make decisions for you, then you're gonna be stuck with those, what's the name of that plan? Integrated something plan? I don't know, Scott knows what it is, I don't know what it is. But you're gonna be stuck with that plan that's gonna kill you. It's gonna kill you. So here's the thing, you have to want to govern yourself. This is called self-determination. And let me tell you what I realized after Katrina. We had buku dollars, we had buku people, we had everybody in the world coming down here to get a piece of the opportunity pie. Mm. But what we did not have was an investment in the self-determination of the people who are from this region. And that's where it has to start, or we don't get movement. And just in case you think people aren't showing up to the Intergy meeting or whatever because they don't care, that's not what's happening. There's something else happening, and we've got to be willing to talk about it. We've got to be willing to touch on it, and you might even have to be willing to be quiet and let other folks come into that spot. I know I'm hurting some of y'all's feelings, so I'm going to stop and go to the next thing. And I'm going to just say, the Assembly is a convergence of social forces. All right, so everybody should come to the meeting around Intergy. The people who care about housing, people who care about health, education, everybody's got to be in on the energy decision for New Orleans East, everybody. And you've got to hear it from those different perspectives. And at the Assembly, what happens is folks ask, what's the problem? What's our solution? What are we going to do about it? We got to commit to it. It's that simple. It's that simple. That's not the same, however, as let me tell you your problem. Let me tell you what you ought to do as the solution. And you should thank me later when I win it for you. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. So I just have a couple minutes left. Let me just say, the synthesis represents an organic total, a total of all the ideas and commitments of the room. The result of an assembly is action. And the assembly is a decolonizing process. Now, how many of y'all think y'all free? Raise your hand. Come on. Thank you, brother. I needed a white man to raise his hand, too. Sorry about that, Dr. Wright. Because you're free for real. That's real. That's freedom. That's freedom. We need to all get white man free, okay? There has to be a decolonization about how we even think about this stuff, how we even think about gathering in a space, how we even think about coming together. There has to be a decolonization of your mind. You have been brainwashed. I'm sorry to be the one to break it to you. Everything you learn is to keep these structures in place that keep people down, specifically black people, but not entirely so. And we got to decolonize ourselves. And this assembly process helps to do that. The People's Movement Assembly helps to build a governance process. It helps you to know about convergence. It helps you to really honor the front line, the people most impacted, and it helps to develop social movements. And so we did. And this was the BP5 commemoration. It's just pretty pictures. Monique told me I could put some pictures up here. So let me just say, multiracial alliance building. It is hard work. If you're at your meeting and everybody looks like you, you need to work on that. I'm not saying that's an easy process. I'm just pointing out you need to work on that. Both sides, by the way, both sides. And we need people from other sectors. If we don't have people who work in the energy field in the conversation, we're in trouble. We're gonna end up fighting our uncles and brothers who need those jobs. We need them in on the solution building. We need them in on the offense. Well, we took our offense of Gulf South Rising all the way to Paris. And a couple folks are in these pictures. I'll keep embarrassing you. But what I want to say is the young man down at the bottom, he was our youngest delegate from the West Bank, from that best bank. And he asked me the other day about running for governor. I was very excited because I've been putting that, you know, making sure he would say it at some point. But this young man wrote his thesis from undergrad on Gulf South Rising, on the process, on the ecological injustices in the region, and now he has returned home and wants to run for office. And this is a young black man from New Orleans when we say there are no young black men in New Orleans interested in this stuff. We also brought some of our artists and culture bearers. In the middle picture with the American flag is the principal chief of the United Home of Nation, Thomas Dardar, and you know, he was our lead delegate. He represented the whole delegation to Paris. And we didn't just stop in Louisiana, even though we know that's where the best people are. We let crazy people from Texas come with us. That's right, I said it, Texas. And we have to be able to think about this and not just what happens to South Louisiana, but what's happening to a region. We have to have a regional view of this, and we have to have regional power being built. We took some young folks. I didn't really hang out with them. And we took some old folks. I was rolling with them. Ms. Ruth Story was our oldest delegate out of Mississippi. And all of these people went to Paris and spoke about the need for renewable energy and clean energy in South Louisiana, spoke about the impact of climate and the climate crisis on South Louisiana. And it wasn't one leader charismatically talking, it was the whole delegation who had their own story. But they knew the line, that, and the line was that we've got a climate crisis and we've got to do something about it. And there's a broader picture after Gulf South Rising, and it's called energy democracy. Casey mentioned it, so I won't dwell, but here's what it means. It means that we have these renewable energy resources, and we have to use them to our benefit. And it's about our future, and it's a future of people coming together, solving local, national, and global problems. Energy democracy produces solutions for everyone. It literally means, when you see those wind turbines, it's not Entergy just going wind, or Entergy just going solar. It's us breaking down these massive corporations that are crippling us. And it's putting the power in your own hands. What happens, like Casey said, with that hospital? What happens when your hospital generates its own energy? What happens when your house generates its own energy? What happens when the storm comes and you're sufficient? Your block is sufficient. You don't need that grid that Entergy is charging you too much money for. You don't need that nasty plant that's gonna kill you. What happens when we take this energy democracy concept to another level for our own liberation and our own survival? Well, that's not supposed to be there. That's not supposed to be a little thing there, but you can contact us. At the end of the, there's an elephant there, and he says, if you remain neutral in a time of oppression, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. Basically, the elephant was saying you can't remain neutral. And it was Bishop Desmond Tutu. I don't know who messed up that slide. Don't tell the bishop I said that. And I'm telling you this because you might think, I don't want to work on Wynn. I don't want to work on New Orleans East. I'm concerned about Uptown. You might walk out of here saying that. And I'm telling you, if you choose the side of neutral or nothing, you're choosing the side of the oppressor. And let me just offer one more little nugget. If you think engaging in the New Orleans East fight is you doing something for those people over there, then we don't want you. Sorry, I'm not even from New Orleans East. I just thought I'd, you know, act like I was. We don't want you. I said it with a little attitude. Because the truth of the matter is your liberation is tied with my liberation. And that's the way we've got to start looking at these fights. We can't just want the black folks to show up to the white people protest uptown. If y'all want us at the white people protest uptown, come on down to the energy fight. When is the meeting? December 12th. Let's just get everybody everywhere and let's do it. Because if you come to help me, you're wasting your time. But if you come because you understand your liberation is tied with mine, then let's work together. We can do it. But we can't do it if you're looking at me like a charity case. We can't do it if you're looking at me like I don't have the same information or intellect that you have. We won't win. They've already won. So now you can contact us. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. That was wonderful.